If you would take your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and when you get there, we'll start reading here in verse 18. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for this opportunity we have once again to gather in your house. Lord, we thank you that this morning you are with us. You are still Emmanuel. You are still with us. You're in our midst. Lord, though not in presence, Lord, we can't see you. You still are here in our hearts and in spirit. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning. I pray that you would show us truth from your word. Lord, show us where we need to grow, and Lord, just cause us all to be more like you. Lord, teach us now, and we pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. We've all had to wait for something at some point in time or another. Sometimes it's something that, well, we think we really want, and then we get it, and maybe we don't want it so much. We've all been stuck in waiting periods. You think of, Christmas, you know, as a child, you pray for Christmas, like it wouldn't come if you didn't pray for it, you know. You want those presents, and probably not so spiritual, but you want those things that come along with Christmas. But then as an adult, maybe, well, you're looking forward to Christmas, but then all of a sudden it hits you, and it's Christmas Eve, you haven't bought any presents yet, and it's just a hassle. I hope none of you start thinking about that for the rest of the lesson. Hopefully you've already taken care of that. But anyhow, aside from all that, we've all been waiting for things. And we've all been in waiting periods. And it's interesting, the birth of Jesus had been waited for so long. The Jews as a nation had been waiting for a Messiah for hundreds of years. Prophets had foretold it. Preachers had preached about this. But yet when Jesus came, nobody was prepared for it. And it hit the world like a whirlwind. Mary wasn't prepared for it. Joseph wasn't. Herod wasn't. No one was ready for this. And yet, it was in God's perfect timing. But everyone in this story is kind of taken by surprise by this. And the title for this morning's lesson is, Think Fast. Think Fast. And we'll see this morning how God doesn't always work on our timing, doesn't always work in our schedule, but it's always in His perfect timing and His perfect will. And so this morning, we go back hundreds of years ago to the birth of baby Jesus in Bethlehem. And in Matthew 1:18, where we begin in our text, it gives us really a backstory. Now, last week we looked at some foreshadowing and how Mary was told that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. But now we're going to see how that took place. And in chapter 1, verse 18, we see three important details regarding this birth. Now, first of all, it says, when as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. Now, in a Jewish marriage contract, there was two different phases. First, there was the espousal or the engagement period. Now, this lasted about a year. And so it was much more serious than today's engagement. The only way that you could break it off was either by divorce or if either the bride or groom-to-be died. Now, they were considered basically to be already married. They were called nominally husband and wife. They still lived with their parents, but they were considered basically already to be married, at least as people viewed them. And so That's where Mary and Joseph are. Now, after that 1 year espousal or engagement period, the groom would go to the bride's house, and then he would take her to the wedding feast and the celebration, and the official wedding would take place. But we see from that first detail, that hadn't happened yet. And so Mary and Joseph, they're still living apart. They're not officially married. They're engaged to be married. And so that's the first detail. And then it says the secondly, before they came together. It's clear there was no kind of physical relationship yet. They weren't married yet. They were still living separately. And so this just lends another proof that this was a virgin birth. And then the third detail, it says, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. This was God's working. And this child to be born was Jesus Christ, who would be our Messiah. But Joseph, well, he hears this news, but he doesn't know part three. He only knows parts one and two. He knows that they're engaged, and he knows, or at least he thinks, they've been faithful to each other. But he doesn't know that this child to be born is to be the Messiah. Maybe Mary had already told him about the angel that appeared to her. Certainly she'd probably tried. But yet Joseph, well, he's left confused by this. He thinks, well, this is maybe an elaborate story she's made up, but how can I reconcile this in my mind? And before we judge him too quickly, you have to think, this must have just devastated him. I mean, this just hit him out of the blue completely, and he doesn't know what to think of this. And Mary, she's probably also traumatized by this and traumatized by Joseph's response to it. Maybe she had hoped, well, surely he'll trust my story. I mean, an angel appeared to me and told me this. But yet Joseph is seemingly the only choice he has is that she's been unfaithful to him. Maybe Mary prayed for an angel to appear to Joseph and give him the same news. Maybe she thought that when an angel appeared to her, an angel appeared to Joseph too and told him that. But yet for some reason, Joseph, at least at this time, is left out of the loop. He's not informed on this. And studying this, I've often wondered why. Why is it that Joseph wasn't told? Why is it that he's given this period to doubt? Well, honestly, and ultimately, we're not sure. But I think in one strong scenario, Joseph and Mary's trust of each other was much stronger after this. And after he found out that she really was telling the truth and that what she said was correct and that an angel had appeared to her, well, then their trust and their relationship was stronger than ever. And they would certainly need that in the days to follow because they would go through some incredibly tough and challenging times. And so Joseph, at least for now, is just left to wonder. He's wondering, has Mary been unfaithful to me? If not, is this story true? How in the world can I believe this story? But for now, Joseph, he has a decision to make. And Deuteronomy 22, 23 through 24 gives a law that if a betrothed woman, an engaged woman, was unfaithful to her husband-to-be, well, then she was to be stoned. Now, that was a very harsh punishment, and in this day and age in Israel, that probably wasn't carried out as much. But Joseph did have the option to take her before the city gate, before the elders, the judges, and have her publicly shamed for this. He had that option. And certainly, he must have been tempted to be upset, but yet it says Joseph was a just man. He was a godly man, and he loved Mary. And so he's not going to do anything to hurt her. Even though he knows, well, she has hurt me, he's still seeking her best. And that's a good example. And even that's a good example for us. When someone has sinned, and specifically when someone has repented, well, we're not to just turn away from them completely. The Bible says in Galatians 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Then the next verse says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." There is consequence for sin. There are consequences, but that's not our job to administer. God decides the punishment. But when someone has sinned, someone repents and asks God's forgiveness, Christians should be the first to receive them and the first to help them and to disciple them and to help them come back to the Lord. If Christians don't accept those again, then who will? Well, the world will accept them and they'll take them further than ever. And so that's our responsibility as Christians, when someone has sinned, to be kind and compassionate toward them and to help them regain that relationship with God. But Joseph, well, he thinks she has sinned, and he's trying to go about this the best way he knows how. And the way he thinks is, well, I'll just divorce her quietly, just put this away, and hopefully it doesn't cause a huge scene, aside from, of course, in the families. And so that's what Joseph's thinking, but he continues to think on this. He ponders it, thinks about it over and over. Is there any better way? Is there any way I can do this that won't cause shame and won't cause a big scene? And it says, as he was thinking on it, verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now Joseph, he was tempted to think fast. Certainly this situation had just been sprung upon him. He wasn't ready for it, but he shows a lot of spiritual maturity here. And he shows that he's not going to make a hasty decision. Now, so many times when we're faced with tough situations, our first response is just to panic and make a quick decision. You know, we're not prepared for whatever comes up, and, well, often we turn to ourselves, we don't turn to the Lord. But Joseph, he's thinking about this, he's pondering it, and it's interesting. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of thy feet. Think about where you're going. Think about your steps. But then let all your ways be established. Let God establish your ways. You know, we can only go so far in our understanding. And we should seek God's will. We should think about things, but we can only go so far. Let God establish your ways. And that's what Joseph was doing. And this time of thinking, he was allowing God to work. And he was giving God time to work his perfect will. And so while he's thinking on these things, an angel, maybe in response to Mary's prayer, maybe Mary had prayed that someone would appear and give a message to Joseph. And it says, behold, there's a pleasant surprise. We'd say, well, it's about time. Behold, an angel, the angel of the Lord, appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now that was certainly some unexpected news, but it was exactly probably what Mary had told him. That's the exact truth. And this angel says, Joseph, don't be afraid to make this decision. And if Joseph was afraid what other people would think, if he was afraid of his reputation, well, all that was going to have to change. Because if he was going to follow God in this situation, well, he shouldn't worry about what anybody else thinks. Because if he did, he would never go through with this. And in following God, sometimes it takes making a decision that looks foolish. I love how in verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Could have said on this manner and this way, but on this wise. Jesus Christ is all wise. He's all knowing. Nobody in this story would have necessarily chosen it to happen this way. But yet Jesus Christ is all wise. He's all knowing. And in his wisdom, which was seemed to be foolishness with man, in his wisdom, he ordained everything to happen just like this. And so Joseph, well, maybe he doesn't think this is wise, but the angel says, fear not, don't be afraid. Take unto thee Mary thy wife. And then he says in verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This was in fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 21 says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The angel said, not only is this birth supernatural, this birth is the birth of the Messiah. And you're to call his name Jesus, for he's going to save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior. And that's why Jesus came to earth. It was to save us from our sins. And all this is so detailed. And this name is to communicate not only to Joseph and Mary, but to communicate to the entire world that salvation had come to the earth. If you look back in this chapter, in chapter 1, verse 16, the name Jesus was very common at this time. It's the New Testament form of the Old Testament name Joshua. But there was something that set it apart from any other Jesus. It says in verse 16, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Who is called Christ? Once again, just a little detail that Matthew includes. This Jesus is completely different. He is the only anointed one sent to save his people. And that's our Savior that was sent to us. And then it says that Joseph, being raised from sleep in verse 24, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Well, Joseph, he obeyed immediately and completely. Now, I imagine there's some time differences in verse 24. I don't think he immediately got up, went to her house, and they got married. I think there's definitely some time. He didn't obey that quickly. But Joseph, being reassured, he had had a message from God. He knows what to do now. Well, he didn't slack anymore. He didn't doubt. He said, God's given me a clear message. No matter what anybody else thinks, no matter what the world does, I'm going to obey God. And we're going to live in fulfillment of his plan. And that's exactly what they did. And it says that she did bring forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. They called his name Jesus. And that's exactly what the angel had instructed. And once again, Joseph follows just to the letter. It says, it's interesting, the two names. In verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child. They shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." These two names, Jesus and Emmanuel, just wrap up what Jesus came to do and who he is. Jesus came to earth as Emmanuel. He is with us. Jesus came to earth to live among us and to die for us. It's interesting. I was reading this morning in the book of 2 Samuel. And David, when he wanted to build a temple for God, but yet God said, "No, you're not to build this temple. I'll allow your son Solomon." And he said, "Have I at any time dwelt among my people except in a tabernacle?" And yet Solomon would build a temple where God would reside, at least his presence. But then Jesus Christ, something David could have never imagined, Jesus Christ coming in person to live and walk among us like any other person. That's something David could only look forward to and only imagine. It's just so incredible. Incredible that God would love us and care for us that much to come and to live among us and to walk on this earth and to die for us. Just an incredible truth. And then once again, where it's emphasized, Matthew gives another detail, another small detail. It says in verse 25, "And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son." I believe Joseph was guided in this, but Matthew kept in this detail, though maybe insignificant. It leads to the fact that there's no question, nothing calls into question the virgin birth. Jesus was born of a virgin, and honestly, that was very wise, and I'm sure God guided Joseph in this decision. And so there's nothing to call into question the virgin birth because it is vital to our salvation. Without a virgin-born Savior, we would have no salvation. But because we do have a virgin-born Savior, we do have salvation. And so Jesus Christ fulfilled the law to every little letter. And Matthew, as an author in writing to the Jews, he quotes a lot of Old Testament scripture. And he includes all these small details so there's no doubt left in our minds. You see, the prophecy that's fulfilled from Isaiah 7:14. In verse 23, he quotes that. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ fulfilled prophecy in his birth, in his life, and his death. Well, Joseph obeyed God's command in marrying Mary, And then they fulfill God's command in naming the child Jesus. And obviously there's a whole lot more detail to Jesus' birth. If we could go to the book of Luke, you would find detail upon detail that we don't have time to go over this morning. If so, we'd be here all day and even beyond. But the fact is, if there's no other truth we learn, Jesus Christ had a perfect plan. He carried it out perfectly so that we could have a perfect salvation. And that's what he did in coming to this earth. It wasn't like any other plan. It wasn't any plan of man. No person could have devised such a plan, and no person could have carried it out. But God had a perfect plan, and he accomplished it so that we could have salvation. Jesus loves us so much. God's perfect salvation was only possible, though, because two people were willing to follow God. Mary and Joseph, they had to live with a lot of shame. Nobody really understood. Jesus even had to live with shame because nobody understood what Jesus' birth really meant and how important this virgin birth was. They couldn't understand the virgin birth, and neither could Mary and Joseph. We can't understand that humanly. But yet we know that God accomplished it, and God accomplished it for our salvation. And so we can trust it. Mary and Joseph were put in a think-fast situation. But yet in that time of where they could have made some hasty decisions, they could have been frazzled. Joseph could have made a hasty decision to put away Mary, and God's plan would have been changed. But yet God's plans never change. And Mary and Joseph were willing to do the right thing. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Mary and Joseph had to think fast. There was a lot of details that they just didn't understand. But they did trust in the Lord. They let God establish their ways. And because of that, Jesus was born. He was born in God's will, and he did accomplish our salvation. And Mary and Joseph were able to trust God in this big test because they had trusted him all along. This was a huge test for Mary. I mean, this was something beyond what anything she had expected. But yet, I don't think she lost her cool. I don't think she was frazzled by this situation. Because when we looked at last week, when she was praising God for the birth of the Messiah that was to come, she showed such a love for God and such a deep knowledge of the scriptures that something like that doesn't change in a week and doesn't change under hard circumstances. I believe Mary and Joseph both kept the faith and they both trusted God. And it certainly wasn't easy, especially at this time, but yet they kept their faith in God and they were able to go through a tough situation and come out on top. They had to think fast, but they allowed God to direct their thoughts. And so what are you going to do when God puts you in a think fast situation? Are you going to trust your own understanding, what you know, or are you going to rely on God's perfect knowledge? That's the decision we have to make. We all must put our trust in God and God's timing and allow him to direct every step of our lives. And when we do that, he'll lead us to a destination beyond our understanding, sure, but also beyond our expectations. And that's something we don't want to miss. So allow God to direct your steps. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that your timing is best. Thank you that you are wise. Lord, we are foolish. You are wise and you have all knowledge. Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust you in every step that we have to take. Lord, so many times we don't understand. Even the times we think we do, we still don't. Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust you. You see our future. You've seen our past, Lord. You know everything about us. Please direct us. Lord, I pray now for the service to follow. Direct us in your steps, Lord. Give the words to say. Lord, just help everything this morning to be glorifying and honoring to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.